Hypermanic noise.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Hypermanic Noise podcast. Fucking stoked to have my good mate Sean Conway in the building. Sean's a hilarious comedian. He's just done a sold out run of Australia with Tony Hinchcliffe. He's just done a run in the States. He's supported Steve-O, Ari Shaffir, too many people to mention. He's a really good dude, a really good friend of mine, and he's fucking hilarious. We've got some really big news in the Sean Conway world to announce on this podcast, world exclusive. It really is the biggest moment of his career, and I'm stoked to be able to break the news on the show. We got into a bunch of weird topics. I had the first ever instance where I started the show off with a clip and it fucking bombed terribly. So you'll hear that happen and you'll hear us regroup and do another one later on. Thanks heaps for listening. Really appreciate it. I was away for a few weeks and I got behind, but I'm all caught up now and raring to go. Got a bunch of cool shit in the pipeline. It's going to be killer. So enjoy the show with Sean Conway, comedian mastermind and possible serial killer.
Podcast initiation complete. Warning. This episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic noise.
Hello. Welcome to the show, Sean Conway. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. We started?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm good.
I should let you know.
Yeah. No, I'm great.
Yeah.
Tickled pink.
Tickled pink?
Yeah, that's a saying, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm.
You. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why straight out the guns, you know. Yeah, Jesus. Thrown me.
All right. Well, that's good. That's what I like to hear. So I'll fix this. So this is. I like to start the show off with something called "Wide World of Webtards," and this gentleman. Yeah, he's an Australian treasure. I would like to say.
Harold Holt.
No, not quite.
Ian Thorpe?
He's maybe like Ian Thorpe. I mean, he's written books that are in libraries. This dude is a convicted pedophile, but he did it before the fucking law changed, so now he's not on the sex offenders register. So he can basically go wherever he likes. And this is Australia's finest journalistic, like a current affair or one of those shit shows. But the dude is just fucking bonkers. And I want to hear your...
He's a pedophile, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking like even for a pedophile. Like,
I think I might have seen this clip.
John Wayne Gacy would be like, Jesus, get this cunt away from me.
Wayne Gacy was good. I think people talk shit about him for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. He could build a house.
Yeah.
He could do lots of cool shit.
Dug a lot of holes under those houses.
And not much room to move.
No.
That's quite a feat.
He liked what he liked and he pursued it, and... If you're not inspired by that, then you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, beautiful. Wise words from a great man, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
He used to entertain children. They focus on the wrong bits. You're right. Yeah.
What have you done with your fucking life?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm going to start digging holes tomorrow. Yeah.
How many fucking telethon kids have you fucking entertained?
Less than Cameron.
True. Yeah.
All right.
Let's hear what this fucking pedo has to say.
You're going
to
love it. True to
God. It's important to understand what Jeffrey Leonard is capable of. He lured two brothers, 16 and 13, into his home and his hands. He showered them with gifts and money and even sent them love letters which are too sick to read out to you. The same goes for their police statements. They were systematically sexually abused beyond belief.
But they got gifts and money.
I have not. 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 Not.
Mate, I'm not a 13-year-old boy, okay?
You're a shithouse.
You're not going to intimidate me, Jeffrey.
You're a shithouse.
Would you like to say sorry?
No.
You're not sorry for what you did?
No, I'm not sorry for what I did.
The man is clearly a problem.
You ruined it. You ruined it, and I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for showing this. Thanks for showing us that.
I thought that was going to turn out funnier, but you haven't seen it.
No, I think I've seen that. Yeah.
I just...
I don't know, maybe he was... Well, it's worried because didn't a guy from A Current Affair get caught with like child pornography?
Yeah.
Maybe that was like he had the inside track on this fucking story.
Maybe this guy gave him some fucking goodies. I don't know. That was supposed to be funnier than it turned out to be. You just look
mortified.
Well,
you failed miserably, man. Oh, and now I'm upset.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Well.
No, I'm not a big fan of pedos. I don't know why you brought this to my table.
Oh, dude. It's just like, because I've watched, you know, you're a fan of like, well, not a fan of serial killers, but interested in the in the psyche. And I looked at this dude and I'm like, how did he not do more evil?
I don't know if you guys would listen to it, but he sounded like a weird dude. I would actually like to read like some of the love letters that he wrote, because it was some fucking weird shit that he was just talking.
They're about molesting young boys. Geez. Yes, how to do it. How to get away with it.
That should be your ringtone.
It is. It is. Yeah. That's my granddad.
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's move on from that. Let's fucking, oh, let's watch another video, because that one's just fucking giving me...
Oh, no. Nah, well, fuck it.
You know, when you find out about pedophiles, usually their house accidentally burns down.
Yeah.
That's what I've...
We can only hope.
Yeah.
I think he's dead now, so that's good.
Yeah.
But if you said sorry to Jesus, he's in heaven. That's probably good to know. Like, that's what the book says. I've read it. Too much.
Oh, do you know what 3:16 is? John 3:16?
The verse?
Yeah.
Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that all who believe in him may have eternal life through Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Steve Austin's podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure that's it.
It's give or take. You're in the ballpark. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of specific scriptures, like, but I remember the content, and it's a horrific fucking book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the cream pie they fucking served you at church.
No, I haven't read the Mormon Bible.
Oh, it looks good, doesn't it? Because I want to
hit, you know, but like, trilogies always ruin the franchise.
Yeah, they do.
So, we'll have to have a read. We should talk about that on the next podcast.
Yeah, no, definitely. That sounds good. I love the Book of Mormon. It's fantastic.
You saw the live show?
No.
No. I brought the CD, but I don't think it does it justice. Oh, I need to see that shit live.
That would be brilliant. Oh, yeah. So, how was the US? I've been wanting to talk to you about it.
Yeah, really good, man. I loved it. From I landed in LA, San Diego, Vegas. Atlanta was awesome. And then back to LA for another week.
Yeah.
And then did the East Coast of Australia. And it was,
So what was it like being at the fucking Comedy Store?
Real nerve-wracking. Like it's Mecca for comedy.
Yeah.
So, and there was the feeling of like not belonging there.
Yeah, yeah.
Until I was lucky enough to get my name drawn out for Potluck at the open mic.
Sick.
Yeah. So I got to perform there and did 3-minute spot. Said my first joke, and as soon as I said the first sentence, I knew I wasn't going to get a laugh for this whole 3 minutes.
Oh, no.
And it was brutal. Earl Skakel was the MC. And, it was pretty cool. Andrew Dice Clay was there. Chappelle was there.
Fuck.
They didn't watch me, which was depressing. I think they had better shit to do. But, man, it's a crazy... it's like being, you know, having a backstage pass to Disneyland. Like, it's a weird...
Because you hear so much about it and all the stories, and then you finally fucking...
Yeah, man. The romance, like, really, you know, fucked up my performance a lot, I think. But, we live and learn, man. And it's, you know, now I've got the... I want to chase the dragon. I've had the taste, and I really want to get back over there and...
Not bomb. At
not
the comedy
bomb.
Store.
Yeah, I'll be happy. I'll go to my grave not bombing in the Comedy Store. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. I really want to do that myself one day. Just
well, the same thing happened at the Pasadena Ice House. Like the
that would be just as big, that much of a big deal for me too.
Man, and it was like they always talk about. It's where Steve Martin started out. You know. Mm. Joey Diaz always goes down there. Tony Hinchcliffe filmed his first special there. Like all these guys that, you know, over the years I've admired.
Yeah.
And then I'm on the same stage and it's just like,
Yeah.
The little boy came out was just like, you don't belong here. It's terrifying. But like at the same time, you're bombing and it's just like, man, I'm bombing at the comedy store. It's a, yeah, it was great, but like,
yeah,
extremely humbling at the same time.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, what are you talking about?
I also did the La Jolla.
The improv?
No, the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Oh, cool.
In San Diego.
Yeah.
And ate shit worse there as well. Like, just, I had a 7-minute set.
Yeah.
And I was there with my friend Ari Manis, and I'm bombing for like 6 minutes, and I'm freezing. Like, I've never frozen on stage, and I'm trying to, like, what the fuck am I, like, have to say and shit. And I finally spit out one joke in the last minute, and the crowd laughs, and I was just like, I got one! I got one!
I did it!
And then I got played off. Like, they've got like an old Hawaiian shirt wearing dude that plays you off. Oh, yeah. So it's a great place, man.
That's
but
cool.
Like, it's...
Well, do you remember that huge show you and I did at the Civic called Are You the Next Comedian?
Where the 200-seater, like, with 10 people in the crowd?
Yeah, most of them were comedians.
Yeah. I came third.
Yeah.
Oh. I think I lost to Tuffley. I'm not too sure.
No,
I don't
mean
Sam
tough.
Cribb
yeah.
came equal third.
Yeah. Feather in your cap. That had to mean more, surely.
Oh, yeah. Like, those movie tickets went a long way.
The guy running it called himself Pepe.
Oh, the rappers.
Yeah, My Time Entertainment.
Yeah, geez.
And they walked around with this logo of a clock that said My Time on it.
Yeah.
And
you know you're in the wrong decade when you're still dressed like Craig David.
He had some good songs, at least. My Time didn't. I checked out their productions.
Oh, Craig David, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't.
I'm a closet fan of his Born to Do It album. That's one of my favorite Guilty Pleasures.
Nah, I still can't stand him, man.
Oh, you're fucked.
I had guys in high school, because I was one of the first dudes to get my license.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to play this fucking Craig David song on repeat. And it's just like, nah. You're probably a nice enough person, but like, nah, fuck his music, man. I got no time for it. And that fucked up hat he used to wear.
Oh, yeah.
That beanie, half beanie, half... What is it, yarmulke?
Oh, fuck knows. You're disrespecting Craig David, though, and I won't have that.
You know what? I'll fucking leave then.
Good. All right, that was short and sweet, just like Sean's penis.
It's like a pug.
Yeah.
You know, short, cute, so many medical problems.
Oh, Christ. Where else did you play over there?
So I pretty much just ate shit in California every gig. I did one Red's Comedy in San Diego, which is like an absolute pumping room.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do it after the LA Dodgers lost the World Series. They were not up for... It was a packed room. They weren't up for comedy. I did meet a couple of guys that had like huge TV credits, which was cool. But yeah, there was no good gigs in California, which like really spurred me on to want to go back.
Yeah,
I really didn't find my feet until I got to Vegas, which was
What do you chalk it up to? Just the shock in the lights kind of thing where they talk about boxes being in the big
on,
show.
Yeah, early on, I think. And I know they're masters at just that conversational comedy where they're just talking to you and the jokes are hidden in the conversation.
Yeah.
Where mine just felt like old vaudeville sort of comedy, like a bum bum bum.
Okay.
Know? So I don't know, man.
But was it small crowds in those places?
Yeah, like, a lot of comics only crowds.
So, you know, you're pushing shit up here with a fork as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red's Comedy was a packed out house, but they were all miserable and wanted to kill themselves after the Dodgers lost. So,
yeah.
It happens.
Hmm. There you go. What about, did you go to New York?
No, just Vegas. I did a strip club in Vegas,
nice.
Which was, there was 7 people there, and it was the best gig I've ever done, ever, man. Just all this pent-up rage from, like, eating shit in California. And then Shannon DeQueen, who's, like, the weekly MC there.
Okay.
She's talking about, like, receding hair and how dudes wear hats to, like, cover their receding hair. So I took my hat off and performed and, like, you know, and it's an urban room, all black audience, and they're fucking losing it, man. Like, there was only 7 people there, but it felt like 100. Like,
that's sick.
Amount of energy, man, it was like, and I really needed it. Like, it really picked up my spirits, and like, I pretty much, I did one gig in Vegas, and then I went to Atlanta, did the Punchline, which was another renowned room and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, just took the momentum from Vegas, and it was pretty much killed at every gig I did in Atlanta, which makes me want to move to Atlanta as well.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of like, urban is such a weird fucking term, but was it those sort of audiences there as well in Atlanta?
I didn't do any in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Just in Vegas. But yeah, I think there's a couple in Atlanta.
Had you ever been overseas?
Yeah. Before? Yeah, a bunch of times, yeah.
To the US?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've not never doing been comedy there. Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been to New York. All right. Not this trip, yeah.
Yeah, awesome, man.
Well, where do you want to go?
Oh, do the same thing you did.
Yeah.
And then go to Central America for the actual holiday portion of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a mate, he lived in Colombia, and his partner's Colombian. It just never appealed to me, man. Like, Cuba, a little bit, before like the Americans really take it over, but...
Es porque no puede hablar español.
Uno cerveza, por favor.
Oh.
I've been to Mexico. That's kind of South America. It was Cancun. It was
America
just...
Central, señor.
Yep.
Tú eres loco. Muy loco.
Loco is the vodka energy drink.
Is it?
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, four loco.
Four loco.
Yeah.
The number four.
Number four loco.
Four crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It tastes like shit. It's like $2 a can. $2 a can.
Is it like rocket fuel though?
It's like, yeah.
So is it, you know you've had one, like feel it in your fingers. You
well,
feel
it's,
it in
it's
your
killed
toes?
People. Like, it's, yeah. Like I think awesome. Someone had like four in one night and they died. It's filthy, man. Like,
it's the new Castro.
Yeah. Like you could just pour it into shot glasses and that's enough. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but America is beautiful, man, and it's like I loved it. Where I was staying in LA, I was staying in like the West Hollywood in the hills, and it was just, hey, you know what? This is gonna sound weird to the listeners, but like I'll buy a lot of shit on Amazon,
yeah,
and it takes like 3 to 4 weeks to get to Perth, but like I brought Davidoff's Road Stories book, and it came like the next day. Like that's one of the main reasons why I want to move to.
Yeah,
the
a
US.
Lot of it they have the same day delivery.
Yeah, and it's just like fuck, you got. How are you guys still so fucking miserable?
Well, dude, when I moved to Perth in 2009, I went to go to Woolies at like 6:30, and it was fucking closed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? Even in my buttfuck nowhere town that I lived in, coming up to Christmas, all the stores were open till midnight. Like, that hasn't caught on here.
No, I mean, I think we've pushed it up to some places close at 9.
Yeah.
You know, we're slowly creeping into the future, man.
Yeah.
You know. But we'll get there.
They're going to stop experimenting on twins and all that sort of cool stuff soon.
I don't get your reference. Yeah, okay.
Never mind. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
So, how then you finish that? So, would you say like was the wind knocked out of your sails a bit, in some respects?
No, not really. Well, like, the dream growing up was always to, like, move to Hollywood and, you know, make it big and shit.
Mm.
And then, by that aspect, it was, like, because my first stop was LA, and they didn't like it. Sorry.
Yeah.
They didn't like it, and so I was just like, oh, fuck, like, what, they don't like me in Australia, they don't like me in LA, like, where the fuck do I belong? And I was a bit miserable, but not really, because I was in America drinking. And then I went to Vegas, and just all that pent-up anger kind of came out, and it worked. So, and that really, like, okay, that the weight off the shoulders was off. Like, I can actually, you know, perform in America, and they can kind of understand me.
Yeah. And then he came back, and how was the Tony Hinchcliffe run?
Awesome. Yeah. Really good. He's... now wife came over as well, which was cool. We did Melbourne first up, which didn't go... I went a bit too hard too early and lost him. I got a comment saying, your opener was shit on Tony Hinchcliffe's Instagram page.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, which was, you know, I like feeling the love from Melbourne. And then I went and did Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide, and they were just banging, you know. So, the Sydney Comedy Store is like the best place on earth in Australia. It's the best place in Australia.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how what was the difference like performing to those crowds compared to America? Like, did you feel there was a lot of references you didn't realize were...
Yeah, you know, I thought of all the people, America would understand what embarrassing bodies was. And okay. I got to that punchline and they were just looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I had to change it to Dr. Roz, which made sense. And then like people were like, what the fuck is embarrassing bodies? And then I was explaining to them what embarrassing bodies was. And I was like, man, you should just go up and talk about what embarrassing bodies was. And I was like, get out of my face. I'll talk about what I want.
Yeah. Well, when Duncan Trussell came over here, he started this bit about skunks. He goes, he got about 30 seconds in. He goes, do you guys have skunks? No. And he goes, oh, fuck, I had 5 minutes on skunks. Oh, shit. Cool. That was good, man. So what's your plan now? Like, what are you? There's only so much that can be done in Perth, and you've done it all twice.
Well, I'm doing some new stuff in Perth. I'm just signing up. Like, you're hearing it first. Like, I'm going to break. You ready for...
Breaking news story. Yeah. I'll put some fucking
about Sean Conway's future.
I'll put some music in right now, synced up with. Yeah, I'll get the news music fading in and go.
As of January 1st, 2018, I'll be an Uber driver.
Oh, sick! Wow.
Yeah,
you've made it.
I've got to reach out to, I've got to get my message out to the people, man, and maybe it seems the only way to do it.
Maybe you can be the guy that, you remember that band Taxi Ride? Get set, everybody, we're running away. They got the name because one of their friends was a taxi driver and he used to play their CD.
Oh, really?
And then, people would ask about it and then they called themselves Taxi Ride.
Oh, get the fuck out.
So, yeah.
Because I know...
Super Duper Uber, Sean Conway.
Aaron Gox.
Yeah.
Used to be a taxi driver and he'd pull up at the front of gigs, do his spot in his like taxi uniform. Actually, I don't know if I should be saying that, but he's a great employee of Taxis Australia.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you still be working?
I'll be still on the docks, hammering away at it, trying to save some money so I can get back to the US as soon as possible. And
well, the good thing is if you've got a gig, you can fucking almost Uber your way there and Uber your way home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I won't be able to drink, so I'm kind of out on the booze. Yep. So I'll have to make up for that my next holiday.
I hear you're going vegan as well, which is nice.
Nah. Oh, maybe. Who knows? Who knows, man? The world's a crazy place.
Yeah.
Oh, but I love cheese. And like that fake cheese is just...
It's unholy.
What's it? Mozzarella? I've got a real good friend, Kylie. She's vegan, and she sent me vegan mac and cheese, which I haven't made yet, but I need to make that. She's writing a cookbook.
Yeah.
So I've got to try it out.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't want to try that.
Well,
I'll just eat normal mac and cheese.
Yeah, like a fucking animal.
Yeah. An animal that eats animals.
Well, you know.
Some call it a carnivore.
If you're not going to support me, then I might as well just fucking leave.
I'm not going to support you. I'm sick of hearing this fucking defeatist attitude. Get out there and eat a burger.
Nah, fuck it, man. Let them eat what they want.
So, for people who don't know, you run a show called Car Wash Comedy over here.
Comedy Live at the Car Wash.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And when you told me about that idea, I was like, that's a stupid idea.
Now, thanks, man.
No, I didn't say it to you. But I hadn't been there. I didn't know what was going on there. I'm like, why would you just set it up in a random fucking car wash? It didn't make sense to me. But then going to the venue, like they've got this whole area where everyone sits around and has shishas and they've got, you know, food. And I had to see it. Like, cause it just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to do a comedy room in my dad's mechanic shop. Like, it just didn't fit. I couldn't understand it. But it's such a fucking perfect venue for it. Like, it really is. It just didn't make sense to me without actually visualizing what was going on there. Like that whole vibe they've got.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
What's the question?
Oh, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. You pretty much summed it up, man. Like it is a crazy idea. And I think Perth needs a bit of craziness, you know.
Yeah.
And it is. We've had like some great nights. We've had some, you know, quiet nights. But, you know, the Hairy Persian, they've supported us all the way. And it's, yeah, it's starting to find its legs. And we got our last show this Wednesday. And then 2018, you know, I think we're going to reformat it. And it's just going to be hopefully pumping every week.
Yeah.
But yeah, how we chose that venue was, it was Fringe, Perth, Fringe World.
It's right on the edge.
Yeah, and like I'm driving home, we go down Newcastle Street to hit the freeway to go home, and I just saw the roller doors open in this car wash, and I was, they're all like partying and shit in there. And I was like, well, I must be like a private work party or whatever. So every night it kept happening. Like they kept having like these cool like beats were coming out. People were like just sitting around on lawn chairs, chilling out. And finally me and our mate Chris, we went in there and pitched them the idea of this comedy room. And they're like, fuck yeah. Yeah.
We That's want, awesome.
You know, and they're up for it. So, you know, they've got, we give them everything every week and, you know, they support us 100%, man. So it's a really good relationship we got with those guys. And it's a cool fucking venue, man. Like
it is. Like, I had no idea. And then went there and to see all the people, because they're all, they've all got this shisha thing.
Yeah.
And it's a communal activity.
Yeah.
You'll sit around and chat and you just sit there for ages. So there's all those people. Everyone was chilled. There's people that weren't watching the comedy. They were all just fucking super chill.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's just a great vibe.
Well, all the shishas outside and inside, like we drink beer and stuff and that. But, and we got the chef. He's like an amazing cook and your barista and that. Wicked businessman, and like what he's built is just next level, man. And it's definitely what Perth needs, and like the support from like local businesses like that for the arts
makes
all it's the just
difference.
Priceless, man. Like you know, it makes like our pursuits worthwhile.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I've got a lot of love in the world for those guys. So
yeah, dude, that's great. I like the way you've got the you've done the potluck thing as well with the bucket. You know,
it
gives people incentive to hang around.
It was hard because we want to give everyone a shot, but like it's such a, because we want to look after the headliners and stuff and like pumping up and stuff, it was hard to squeeze everyone on. So that was like just an opportunity, and plus like it's just a cool place for comics to hang out. Like it's our room as well, you know what I mean? Like it's, we want to really build that.
That's something was missing, and that's the thing, none of the, that venue is perfect for that, because if you want to have a ciggy, you can go and do that. If you want to have a shisha, you can do that. If you want to watch the comedy, like I managed to watch a lot of comedy and catch up with a lot of people at the same time.
It's also a great way to weed out the people that take themselves too seriously. Like if you're not prepared to perform in a car wash with like wet floors and, you know, Jeeps and Corollas parked around you, if that's too much of a, you know, beneath you, then you can fuck off, man. But like everyone that we've had is, you know, they've been up for it and they love the vibe.
Yeah.
And yeah, man,
the sound is actually quite good for a car wash too.
Yeah,
I was surprised at the acoustics.
Well, I think they've waterproofed it to keep it cool and stuff, so yeah, so
nice.
Yeah,
there you go.
I know, it's just a little bit of magic that happened randomly.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah,
just some secret squirrel business edited out there. What could it be?
It was
industry talk.
I hope it wasn't that really emotional story I just told.
Yeah, it was. I had to edit it out.
What, the story about my dad?
Yeah.
Fuck, really?
Yeah, no one gives a shit about your dad.
Man,
dad.
Like that's like the whole philosophy on life.
I know, but nobody cares, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know,
Basically, your dad was a shit cunt. He never should have done that, and I don't know why you put him on a pedestal.
All right, you took it too far again.
I fucked it up twice in a row.
Nah, my dad's a lovely human being.
Yeah,
if you don't think so, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I will. the views the views shared by me have no weight in reality. I find that like you'll make jokes about someone's mum or dad, and then you meet them, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Can't say it now.
Yeah, no, that's, I don't think that's really happened.
Oh, really?
Nah. I think I made one joke like that, and their mum was dead, and I was like, oh, okay, I won't do that joke anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's not quite as funny then, is
it? I did a gig, what was it, like second year into comedy with a mate, Ronan. We were in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he had a whole joke about funeral homes. And this dude in the front row was just like, "My mum just died." And Ronan's the sort of dude that doesn't, you know, he doesn't backpedal no matter what the fuck the situation is. And he just went at this dude. And this dude wanted to fight him and shit after the show. It was fucking hilarious. But he's quit comedy now, so. Maybe it was like that dude planted a seed in him and corrupted his spirit, but.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it just needed to happen.
It was funny. He was this guy, and because he was, I don't know, fuckheads always seem to like resonate to me. They want to tell me their plans and shit, you know. And this dude came up to me and was like, "Oh, I'm going to headbutt that dude." And I was just like, "I bet you don't." And then like the big security guard came and dragged him out. But, you know, if you listen to this, I'm sorry about your mum.
Yeah. We went out in Queensland after State of Origin, which is like...
You're a rugby fan or league fan?
It's what I grew up with. So, yeah if I'm going to watch a game of footy, that's what I'd put on.
Yeah. You're talking about league, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like for you growing up watching the Dockers. For me, it was growing up watching the Broncos. So I can see a game of AFL on. I'm like, it has no context for me.
Yeah.
My favourite sport's like MMA. Just cunts bashing each other.
I've been getting into the old school wrestling.
Okay.
Like Mankind and...
Oh, that was a good era, man.
It was
when Stone Cold would come out and crack the two beers and skull them. And
I acted like I was too cool for it back then, but like...
It was...
Deep down, it was fucking cool, man.
It was cool.
I'm trying to get back into it, so I've been listening to...
That's not cool.
What?
Getting back into it. Because you're going to end up watching the new PG shit.
Nah.
It used to be rated M or MA.
Yeah.
And now it's PG. So
well,
it's like,
I mean, you saw how badly Mick Foley used to fuck himself up. Like, Jesus. That guy should be dead.
But did you support him?
No.
Huh.
No, that was Brendan Burns and Mick Foley split show.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had anyone supporting.
Yeah.
But I wish I saw that show.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, apparently, like, he tours around doing, like, comedy storytelling, which would be sick to check out.
Hmm.
But
be an interesting dude.
But I've also, speaking of rugby, I'm an All Blacks fan now.
Why?
Because they kicked the Western Force out of the competition unfairly. So I was like, nah. I don't like anything else New Zealand, but I'll go for the All Blacks just to...
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know, kick out the one team making money in that fucking competition. I don't even like rugby, but like just it's the principle.
They had a fucking strong following too.
Man,
I've been to games and...
Man, they had more people at their games than the Reds and the Rebels combined. And they kicked them out.
Queensland Reds, right?
Yeah.
So that's how little we give a shit about Union over there.
And the Rebels. And it was something insane. Like, the Western Force were like $6 million in debt after 12 years. And the Melbourne Rebels were $32 million in debt after 5. And they kicked the fucking Western Force out. And it was just like, you fucking... Fuck them, man.
Hmm.
You know,
They're going to kick Freo out next.
Yeah.
Get rid of the Dockers. I've had enough.
Yeah, I think it... I doubt it.
You're a fan of Aussie Rules, right?
I'm AFL born and raised.
Does nothing for me.
No. Well, I grew up on it, man. Like, my cousins played pretty high level. My pop was won the Simpson Medal in the Waffle, which is like best on ground in the grand final, which is when the Waffle was like the equivalent of like the AFL.
There was its own sort of thing over here.
So there was like a famous story about the Conway trio at East Fremantle Football Club, which is nice. Yeah. So I had to... I was fucking terrible at it, man. I represented my family in the worst possible way. Like, I've
seen you in the Unsung Docker. That tells me enough about your footy playing.
Yeah, well, imagine that, then, you know, take away 100%. Like, that's how bad I was at footy. I used to play at North Fremantle, and yeah, man, I couldn't get a game.
Did you practice a lot? Like, did you want to be good?
I wanted to be good without putting in the effort.
Oh, yeah, that goes well.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I was obsessed with basketball. but I couldn't shoot.
Yeah.
And that it's somewhat helpful in the game. So I was always point guard, and I was pretty good at that, but never... Like a few guys that I played with, I played in the same team as them. They went on to play with the Wildcats and the 36ers and things like that. But I was just shit. And no matter what I did, I could get a decent shot.
Yeah.
But it was never, I could never get to that next level. And I was practicing every fucking day.
Yeah. No, I used to, I didn't play like state or anything, but I used to play a couple nights a week growing up. And then I hadn't played for fuck like 10 years. And I was in Melbourne. I was playing with a bunch of comics over there. And I got a rebound. And I went just to put like an easy shot up. And I threw it over the fucking backboard. Like like just a guy that's never played basketball. You know. And I was just like, fuck, when I was a kid, that used to like go in piece of piss. Like, what the fuck happened? And I'm just like throwing it like it's a volleyball serve or some shit.
I remember my rep games. I got a steal down the other end of the court. And it was just... I was so stoked, and then I went up for a layup, like just the easiest white bread layup, and fucked it up every time that I can remember.
Really?
Yeah. Just because the pressure I'd put on myself. So I used to shoot, and then when I'd miss, I'd punch myself in the arm.
Really?
So then after a while, you're not shooting so well because you've been punched in the arm 400 times. This was a teenage bipolar kid that was untreated and undiagnosed and just fucking all over the place.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself for kids basketball, man.
Every day, man. I was doing it every day. Just obsessed.
Well, if you're going to cut my sad story out, you've got to cut that sad story out.
Okay. At least that's... Yeah, at least your sad story didn't exist. that's a real sad memory.
No, I did. I used to get upset not being picked, but like, looking now, like it was justified, man. Like, I had no fitness. I was a fucking chunky kid that didn't want to... improve. So like it was just like I wanted it but I didn't want to earn it.
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
It happens.
What about the old stand up? You fucking putting in the hard yards there.
Is that
because you don't need athletic ability?
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, well that was weird. Like I always used to watch stand up growing up. Probably more so than like music and probably movies was just you know, I watch movies a lot, but just horrible, horrible public speaking fears, man. Like, it's weird how I actually got into it because I was the grip on a feature film, and they're all clicky, like all the film production, like the sound guys and the makeup, they're all clicky except for me and this other dude, Ronan, who I was talking about before.
Yep,
and he was running a few comedy rooms. And I don't know, just off the cuff, I was like, oh, yeah, I've always thought about doing comedy. And he was like, oh, yeah, come down and I'll put you up. And like, just the realization of like, it was that sort of easy to just go up and do a gig. And I was fucking terrified, man. And like, I'd become good mates with him. And like, over the year, they just called me a pussy. Ronan and Lee just called me a pussy. And finally, I was like, fuck you, man. We need someone to take this spot. And you're doing it. And I'm fucking petrified, man. For like the week leading up to it. Like just no sleep. Just anxiety as fuck. And I get to the gig and I've had 9 jugs before I jump up.
Like, yeah, you told me this years ago. That's mental.
9 jugs. And because I was that terrified, the adrenaline kept me sober.
Yeah.
And I went up and I killed it to 6 people.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. And... But yeah, man, it just really put the, I don't know, you just needed that one push to do it. And then like, you pretty much know straight away whether you catch the bug or not.
Some people do it for a year and bomb every single show. And
never
get the idea that maybe it's not for them. Like for me, playing basketball.
People have been doing it for 20 years and still don't have a fucking idea.
Yeah.
But you know what, man, it's a good community and it's...
Yeah,
it's when people take it too seriously that it's, or take themselves too seriously that it just becomes, you know, a clusterfuck.
Yeah. I like the fact that these days there's a lot more avenues for people that aren't, like, I grew up as a teenager watching the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I'd tape it every year.
Yeah, so.
And all that sort of stuff. But that's not the comedy I like. I found that comedy later on.
Yeah.
And none of those people are middle of the day radio sort of 7 o'clock at night.
Did you have Foxtel, or how old are you?
31.
Did you ever have Galaxy?
Galaxy.
Do you remember Galaxy? Galaxy was like the predecessor to Foxtel.
Nah.
Well, it was pretty much the same as Foxtel, except Foxtel had, I remember as a kid, always wanted Foxtel because it had Fox 8. They used to always show The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And they used to have the Comedy Channel.
Okay.
And Just for Laughs. And that's where I used to resonate more to like the Just for Laughs. I mean, like, Melbourne International was good, like when Arch Barker would come on, or Grand Fleet would come on, and Tripod would come on, and just fucking Fiona O'Loughlin, you know, when they were putting on, you know, just that golden era of fucking Australian killers.
Yeah.
That was like great.
I got into a lot of English and Scottish comedians at first because they've got a big market here, and I could buy that on DVD.
Do you remember the dude? It was like a short, chubby dude, and he used to always wear like a red velour suit.
Oh, vaguely.
Yeah, he used to be one of my favourites. Not really, because I can't even think of his fucking name. But he was, I remember I used to like watch that dude, and there was one, what was it? Shannon Byrne.
Yeah.
Shannon Byrne used to have that ironic joke where he just broke down Alanis Morissette's Ironic song.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Oh, fuck, man. It's still the fucking one of the best jokes going around. Just like, just breaking it down piece by piece. Like, that's not ironic. That's not ironic. And it's,
Oh, I have heard it, but I can't recall the order or anything, but I do remember that now.
Yeah. No, that was a great, I forget what that show was. It was in like a Spiegel tent where they filmed it. But yeah, Just for Laughs. I remember one of the first ones, the one that really stuck out for me as a kid was Jim Brewer.
Yeah, he's on my list of people that I absolutely want to support one day.
I tell you what, one of the best PG albums of all time. And I remember going on a family trip and I was like, my cousins were like, oh, you got any good comedy DVDs? And I was like, yeah, I got this one. And they're all giving me shit off, fucking PG, are you serious? Like a PG movie. And played it and they all went out and brought that album. It was like clearing the air.
Okay.
And it's fucking amazing album, man.
Yeah.
Just him telling stories like Half-Baked with Dave Chappelle. He's like a master storyteller and a master impersonator. So like all these impersonations are, it's not like, this is what Sylvester Stallone sounds like when he goes to the shops. It's like, I was running into Sylvester Stallone and he was like, I don't know. I can't do Sylvester Stallone. But he's just a fucking amazing act, man. And I got to see him live in Sydney. And it was fucking
sick.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I've got a list of like metal comedians that I want to do shows with.
Was like
Steve Hughes, Prosain.
Yeah, Steve Hughes is a cool cat.
Jim Norton.
Well, they're all coming to Australia now. Like, Steve Hughes lives in Sydney or Melbourne now. But Jim Norton was here for like the Australian Just.
Yeah,
for
he
us.
Didn't come over here, and I couldn't afford to go east.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I want to do this game with you called Cunty Questions.
Well, how's this any different from the fucking whole podcast?
Well, it's got theme music. That's how it's different.
Oh, okay, let's hear the theme
music. No, you don't get to hear it. I'm putting it in post. Oh, you don't deserve it.
Can you like hum a little bit for me now?
It's got beatboxing.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Cunty Questions. Very difficult questions. Tell me a lot about you, I think.
Yeah.
So, all right, your mum and dad are hanging on the edge of a cliff, and they're both about to fall, and you've got a very important choice to make. What's better, Diet Coke or Coke Zero?
Diet Coke or Coke Zero?
Yeah.
I used to be really addicted to Diet Coke with lime.
And then they took it off the market.
They did. They also took the Orange Mother off the market as well, but to get to...
What else have they taken off the market, Sean? Give us a list, like an autistic kid.
They took... Oh, remember the Schweppes Cola that was like 60 cents a can?
We still have that in Queensland.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. Queensland. good. I'm glad. So I guess
Queensland's fucked. You can say it. There's a reason I moved so far away.
No, I love Queensland. I did the sit down recently. They were fucking amazing. Yeah. But Diet Coke or Coke Zero? I don't know, man. They're both shit. They, you know, who? It's like, do you like 100% Coke or do you like Coke mixed with baby powder? Like, if you're gonna have Coke,
Diet Coke.
Go with fucking all Coke, you know.
All right, all right, okay. Very
stop being a fucking coward your whole life.
Okay.
And fucking don't just put your toes in, like jump into the fucking water, you coward.
Wow.
You know, like,
so normal Coke wasn't even one of the options.
Well, it is one of the fucking options now. So you know, someone has to fucking stand up and say, you know what, fuck all this diet shit. You know it's bad for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, putting diet at the front of something doesn't make it any less bad.
Wow, tastes good though.
You know.
I see we're never going to agree on this.
It's like watered down fat. It's still fat.
Yeah.
You know, just have a fucking proper Coke or a Powerade and go for a run, you fucking animals.
So,
any more cunty questions?
Yeah, I've got some more. I like how you just went on this off-axis rant.
No, well, fuck, man. Like, why are you bringing this shit to my table, man? Oh, Diet Coke or Coke Zero? No, it's fucking Coke. Or go fuck yourself.
No, that's the whole premise of that had nothing to do with the question. It was the lead-in where I was talking about saving your family.
And I had mum.
And you got...
I was like, yeah, I had mum.
You got so enraged.
That probably, you know, the way he's going, he could have probably landed the fall. Fucking...
True or false, what's your favourite colour?
Purple.
True or false?
It's truly purple.
Good. So, if you lose your left nut, is your right nut still your right nut?
It's just my nut, isn't it?
Well, is it fair that it should lose its identity? Like, it's already lost its best friend? You know, what's your thoughts?
No, it would be like if there's two vice presidents, you know, and then the president dies... You become the president.
But what if they've been...
No, well, you're either the left nut or the right nut. But, like, if one of them fails, you become the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, true. You get all the power.
Yeah, you control the bag.
You control the bag. all right, I've got a gun to your head.
Yep.
And you've got three options to survive. You have to... you're on, like, a desert... I fucking take you to a desert island, drop you off. And you're there with a few people, and there's no food. So your first option is to eat a member of your family. The second option is to eat a homeless person that has been dropped off with you, and your third option is to eat your own dick and balls.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, it's the homeless person, straight up.
Yeah. Why?
Well, it depends. How fat is this homeless person? Is he like just, you know?
Yeah, he's
a really skinny.
Yeah, I'm gonna say really skinny and emaciated to make the decision harder. But still not going to eat a member of your family.
Well, apparently you can... I forgot who told me this, but like, it's... human meat is all right. It's the skin that fucks you up.
Oh.
Yeah. Fun fact. It's the human skin that makes you sick.
Okay.
But like, human meat is good for the body.
Well, you think as if I'm going to eat it with the skin on. I'm not an animal.
Well, I eat KFC with the skin on. I guess how it's done.
Yeah, well, we'll do it right.
How are we doing this homeless man's skin?
Oh, however you want.
But,
it's just more to put you in... And
also, how much time do I have to kill this homeless man? Like, I mean...
Well, it's just you, essentially you, your family, the homeless man on an island. Like, I'm trying to make your life hell, so I've just dropped you off with the homeless man. You're going to live there.
Well, if he's skinny, then I can kill him, eat him... And then turn his bones into other weapons.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
You know, yeah. My mind's straight to like Castaway. What would Tom Hanks do if he had a homeless man on that island?
Give him a volleyball.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well.
No more cunty questions?
No, I'm out. Okay. Well, I was thinking we should do another video that isn't about a crazy pedophile.
Yeah. You want to close on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll just sort that out. Because, unfortunately, that first one went a bit shit.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a dud, shall we say. So this is a polyamorous unicorn cult in London. And I think you might be a fan of these guys.
Is it a literal cult or is it like...
Just a cool family of like-minded adults. but like to hang
are
out.
Are they related?
They aren't related, but they are related in a spiritual sense. So here you go.
So a lot's happened since the first time we met, because I'm not an alcoholic anymore.
Yay!
I'm going to have some cucumber water. Business cards. Money-wise, anything £50 and over goes to ourselves. Anything below £50 goes to the Unikitty, so we could buy stuff like glitter, new toys. We've upgraded so much on the way we look. We have a new category of unicorns, which is like a glamour-con. So
glamour-con.
Voss will do a story on just about fucking anybody, man.
I know. But check out this chick. She's made for you.
This is my room. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
I just like to be surrounded by lots of beautiful things all of the time. When I was in Thailand, I was in a place called Hajiwam, and they're all really spiritual there, and I went slightly doolally. I felt like when I met Shaft, we did have a bit of a spiritual connection.
I'm allergic to dust, and just the amount of shit she has, it's just like, oh, that would just be hay fever city.
The same as my best friend Bambi, and in the Mayan dream spells, we're all yellow crystal stars.
Oh, she just put a bunch of words together.
This is sucking in space.
Yeah.
A lot of my art is just quite psychedelic. And I do quite a lot of self-portraits. So this is a self-portrait of me sucking a galactic penis. Like, I just imagined it like a huge, like, kind of weird wiggly worm that would come out of a black hole. And that I was a big face in the sky, like, ah.
What do you reckon?
They're obviously very vain.
Vain? Do you think vanity's the problem, or
absolutely,
or drugs?
Nah, definitely vanity, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever considered sucking an intergalactic penis, or having your?
Well, I've never really thought about it because the option has never been there. But maybe.
Why not? It's an intergalactic penis. I don't think that makes you gay.
Well, it depends. Does it have like really cool colors, like Guardians of the Galaxy or some shit?
Let's hope so.
You know. Because, if it's just like a normal plain earth penis, then like, what's the point?
No. I'm not on board with that. There you go. Let's all enjoy life, suck into galactic penises.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to dress like a unicorn, I mean, do it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Wise words from Sean Conway. Yeah. Thanks heaps, man.
No worries, man.
All right, rock and roll.
Sweet.
Hypermanic noise.